Welcome to this new episode of Creative Industry Radio. Today is all about good energy and endless power with my amazing guest, Tiffany Winterler. Tiffany is founder of several service companies in the creative industry like Winterler Production, The Location Agency, and We Are Network. She stands for connecting the right people and making the industry a more loving place. In this conversation, we're talking about how the right company is an energy resource, her unique story of growing up all over the world, and her dad taking Tiffany and her sister to exciting places and making them appreciate the privileged situation they grew up in and learn about the real world. We talk about ambition and dreaming big, her business in the industry, and how all things are coming together for her. Tiffany jams on sharing mistakes and being of inspiration to others. And she has tips and insights on how to get your work into magazines such as Vogue. Finally, we discuss mental strengths, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and how breathwork can get you high on your own supply. You definitely don't want to miss out on this, so get comfortable or put on your shoes and go for a run with us. And to get us started, I asked Adam, my AI assistant, to become a stand-up comedian and give us a welcoming intro for Tiffany. So, handing over to you, Adam, the mic is yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Creative Industry Radio. Today, we have the remarkable Tiffany Winterler, a globe-trotting, vibe-bringing, big-dreaming witch with a heart set on making the creative industry more supportive and loving. Born in Munich and raised across the Caribbean, England, and Spain, she's part Wolperdinger and a master at manifesting her dreams. Driven, honest, and a certified nerd, Tiffany's never planning on retiring because she absolutely loves what she does. With a team that complements each other's strengths, she's a shining example of what it means to think outside the box. But don't be fooled, folks. This Wolperdinger has a softer side, too. She's all about kindness, bonfires, and has an uncanny talent for burping like a champ, thanks to her dad. So get ready to be inspired, entertained, and united as we dive into the incredible world of Tiffany Winterler, the perfectionist who'll burp her way into your hearts and make you question what box you belong in. Tiffany, the stage is yours. So cool you're hanging with John today.
It's amazing. I love it.
So is Adam right? Is Adam right? Yes?
I would say he's full on. Correct.
Hey, Tiffany, it's amazing to have you here. Thank you for coming. And let's start with energy. Because as I know you, you have so much energy, and that's very inspiring. And where and what is your absolute favorite place to go to recharge your batteries? And maybe you can take us there. What does it look like? How does it feel for you when you're there?
For me, I think that's no specific place. For me, it's the people I'm around. I always say I'm not someone that's attached to a city. I can make my home everywhere. It is only the people that I'm with. They make me feel home. So if I've got the right company, that's where my energy comes from.
All right. And to get us started, and especially to get you started on the right track, I have got a little feedback for you from someone you might well know. And you said you want to surround yourself with the best people and with the right people. So I would love to play it to you, and let's see if you recognize her.
What I value the most about Tiffany, that's a good one. And it's quite a lot. So let's start with her creative mind, her drive, and the way she sees the world. I've never met someone who's able to see things as clear and always on point like she does. She is so energizing and inspiring at the same time. Everything is possible in her mind and at least worth a try. Every step is so important to her, no matter if it was a good or not so good one. Even failure she values as a part of her personal growth. I remember her saying, "If I can't reach my goal, it's only because I haven't found the right way yet." And I think that tells exactly how she takes life and what she's driven by. She wants to give her best, and she also wants the best for everyone who's involved. And in a friendship context, I would say she's all in with everything. And she's a solid rock, And with someone like her in your life, you will always have a safe space, a home at heart.
Oh my God, yes, of course, that's Stephanie Stürmer. I love her to bits, and I could just give everything back. She's my, I would say, one of the best friends, but also she's my business wifey, and we just founded a company together last year called We Are Network. So yeah, so grateful. I must call her after.
Yes, and I really love the quote that she gave, like, if I can't reach my goal yet, I just haven't found the right way.
Correct. I don't accept a no.
I think that's a very good trait you have. And well, I loved how Stephanie described your relationship and how she values your drive, your ambition, and how reliable you are. And since when do you know each other?
We've known each other quite a few years, but we worked in a different context together. Like, she also has a marketing background, but we met as when she has, she's also a makeup artist. And so, like, a few years back, we did a shoot together. But as close as we are now is, I would say, a year. About a year and it keeps getting closer every day.
That's amazing. Well, I bet it's great to have a friend and a partner to work with like that. And it must be a very good match. I'm curious to get to know her.
For sure. You should interview her. She's amazing.
All right. Before we go into your work relationship and everything you do work-wise, I would love to take a little turn through your life. And you have told me an absolute crazy story about you growing up and becoming who you are today. And may I ask you to... Could you maybe divide your life into, let's say, four phases or five or six, I don't know, and let the creative family know briefly how the transitions from one to the next phase were?
Sure. So I guess I'll start. I was born in Munich, but my parents lived on a boat in the Caribbean. And so...
On a boat? Sorry, I have to ask you. You said your parents lived on a boat in the Caribbean.
Yeah, my dad was always a big sailor. Like, he came from Hamburg. He's not with us anymore, I'm afraid. But he was, he grew up in Hamburg and was always working in the harbor. And so his love for, like, the ocean, the sea, and exploring was always big. So he... It wasn't always the dream of my mom. There are many funny stories where he wanted to eat something. I'm going off board, but he wanted to eat something. And there was a big storm. And then he was like, can I have scrambled eggs? And then she was like, yeah, okay. And then making him scrambled eggs. And she flies on top of the cupboard because there's such a storm. And so, yes, no, he was always a lover of sailing. And so we grew up on a catamaran, getting back to the story. But it sounds like a great story, and it is a great story, but I don't remember it that well. It's more from pictures and storytellings.
Anyway, who can say that they grew up on a boat in the Caribbean? I guess that's unique.
Thank you. When we had to go to school, my sister and I, my dad he always thought, like, education is the most important thing, and he wanted to... give us everything he could, which of course he did. And we then moved to England. And when I was around 7 or 8, my dad was super fed up of the English weather. He was like, this is making me depressed. I need to get out of here. So he packed up his family and took us to Spain. And I finished school there. And then I moved to Munich. Pretty much only with the thought that I wanted to learn German properly. Like, I always spoke it properly, but it was, yeah, even if I just said, like, hi to people, hello, or my name is, people would then hear some kind of twang or like an accent. So they would ask me, where do you come from? And then I would always have to explain, I guess I'm just too stupid to learn the language. And so I really wanted to do a German course and did that, but it was I was in Munich, beautiful weather, beautiful people, the beer, everything you have. And then I decided to not move to England to study, but instead I studied here in Munich, where I'm currently living too. And I studied here business marketing. I guess that's section number two of my life. And it was not soon, or it was soon, that my dad and me came out again. And I was like, oh, I feel like I need to see more. And so I moved to Australia. I had an Australian boyfriend back then. And I was always on off I think 1 year in Sydney, half a year in Brisbane, and would always do 6 months Australia, back to Germany, and so on. And then after finishing my uni, I wasn't a confident person growing up. I guess a lot of girls go through that phase where they're just not sure about themselves yet. And it sure was that for me. And so no one ever came to me and said, like, hey, you should model. I just thought, I am going to try it out. And if it doesn't work, it just never happened. And I don't need to tell anyone about it. And then it went better than expected. And I did that for around 11 years in total. And during that time, after finishing my uni and starting modeling, I went to Hong Kong and Indonesia, and then I moved to Milan for 2 years, and then also Greece.
That's quite a trip that you just mentioned. Amazing. It's hard to keep track.
I guess a little bit. I'll try and keep it short, but I'm hard.
No, it's fine. It's wonderful to hear where you lived, but it's just so many. How often did you, you said you studied, after your studies, you went to Australia or during?
So that was during my studies. Yes. I went to Australia. First, I did my internship there, and then I kept going back and forth, always luckily having a uni that allowed that, so I could do a lot of it online. It was also easier for the relationship to see each other often.
Yes.
And then after, when I had finished my bachelor, I then moved to Hong Kong and was there for about 4 or 5 months. Then did Indonesia. I would say it was an experience. I'm not sure I would go back to live. The traffic was ridiculous. Like, I don't know if any of you guys have been to Jakarta, but going, I don't know, 3 kilometers takes like 5 hours. They'd always be like, they pick me up at 8 so I can start the job at 10. They'll pick me up at 6 so I can start the job at 10. And I figured out they have something like, it's like Uber, but for motorbikes, and it's called Gojek. Okay. And then I was like, guys, look, I'm going to sleep 2 hours longer and I'm just going to go in a Gojek. And then that was a fun experience. And then after that, I think it was then Milan that I went to. And that was all my funny side story. In Hong Kong, all my hair broke off. I had long blonde hair, and then I was super excited to be booked for quite a cool job, and went to the hairdresser being like, please, can you make it look good? And sat there for so many hours. And in the morning when I woke up, half of my, like the side I was lying on was lying on the pillow, like it all broke off. And I went there devastated, being like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm the worst person ever. Luckily, they managed to do some kind of thing with my hair. But after that, I really had to pretty much shave it off. Not shave it off, but it was a very short hairstyle. But that the first I cried and I was like, oh my God, I look terrible. Afterwards, I was like, this is amazing. I'm always going to have short hair. I understand guys, they have like 5 minutes in the bathroom and they're done. And it turned out in my favor that was a great, and a good niche for Milan. And so that helped in the end. so a problem that went well. And I wanted to go there for 3 months to check it out. In the end, I stayed 2 years. Wow. And then I think I came back briefly to Munich, and then it went to Greece. And that's I guess part two or three, whatever you may call it, done. And then my dad wasn't doing so well. Like he was a little older already, and I knew that it was maybe coming to an end sometime soon. And I got this, nervousness inside me. And I was like, yes, I need to be closer to family. I need to make sure that I'm able to support people. And I need to make sure that, I guess, modeling is something that's fun. And I was lucky enough to always be able to support myself well. But my dreams are always a little bit too big. And so I was like, I don't know if this is really working for me anymore. And so I was like, I'm going to do something where I can safely say that if I just put in loads and loads of work, I can work up, make sure I make it quicker. And so I started working for a advertising company. Mm-hmm. And I would say that was a good experience to know that however hard times get, that is just not the world I want to live in. Not advertising generally, because that's also what I do now, but I guess working in an agency for someone else, maybe it's not even their fault. Maybe it's more that I'm a very sensitive person, and I think the thing I value most about my life now is that I get to decide who I want to work with. And I think that's what I'm most grateful for. And I therefore, didn't have the best experience there. And after 6 months of doing that, when I was called in and the boss said, one can see that like your light has gone out. And she was very sweet, and which she really didn't need to, offered to pay me another wage, or how do you say that? I guess, yeah, wage for a month. And she was like, "There, you have 2 days left. You want to pack up your stuff, or do you want to stay?" And I was like, "I'm definitely packing up my stuff and leaving now." and thank you for letting me. And then I left and pretty much very soon after started my own production company.
Wow.
First
of all, thank you so much for opening this box of surprises and this amazing story that is you growing up and moving and experiencing the world and having the possibility to work and live and see so many beautiful places in the world. For me, it feels like that's where you got the urge to be yourself and to work for yourself, to be your own boss. You have got a base created out of all those experiences that make you feel like you know exactly who you are and what you can do and what you do best, so that you probably don't fit in any box anymore, and that you are more like yourself already, and that you can bring your value, your light to the world in that way.
Thank you. I like not being able to be put in a box, because I just think a lot of people say I do so many things and I should probably focus, and maybe they're right. But for me, I have that many interests. And I also feel like as long as it kind of is all into, like, you can combine it, why not? Like, I even have that tattoo. Like, I just really believe, like, why the fuck not go for it? Sorry for the swearing. but I think definitely that's a mix of my mom and my dad. Like, yeah, they were always big adventurers. Like during school, my dad would always, I guess the background is my dad got me when he was nearly 60. And yes. And he was the biggest adventurer I know. So for him, he always told us, and which I completely believe to this day, is that memories and travel is something that no one can ever take from you. And regardless what happens in life, that's something that will always stay with you. And so he made it his mission to show us the whole world. And exciting. He would take us out of school always 1 month longer than the school holidays. And we would always do a world trip, like my sister, my mom, and him, every year. And that, I think, just broadened our horizons. And also, like, it wasn't that we were always staying in the, I mean, we stayed in beautiful places, but he always made it a mission also to show us all areas of life, and also all standards of living, and making us appreciate also what we have. And I think going out of your comfort zone, seeing how other people live, really, I mean, you can find it wonderful being back home then. But it also, I guess, makes it, you know what else is out there. And I think there's just so much to explore, and it's so beautiful. Yeah, keeping that adventure alive, also when he's not here anymore.
That's so exciting. And I guess such a wonderful youth to, well, who can say that they had 1 month of extra holidays traveling the world every year? That's super exciting. And I believe that, I remember once that we spoke, you mentioned that you were climbing up a waterfall with him.
Yeah, he was like super active, and he always wanted, and it sometimes, I guess, like, he would be like, if we're gonna go horse riding, but we're not riding with saddles, like, we're, because he had a trip, and he lived with Bedouins for a while, and then he was like, he wants to show us how to ride without saddles. And so we went then riding without saddles, and then we took the horses into the, I never knew that horses could swim. They went swimming with them, and then we'd be in rainforests with elephants, and then they would be, he'd be like, oh, there's a waterfall, let's get out, off, or, but he was also very, I mean, he was the most loving dad, but he also made sure that if something happened, we would just get on with it. Like, I remember I had this horse that we rode in Tunisia for a while, and he was called Silva. And then there was this like street dog, and the horse got really scared, and I fell off. I must have been like around 7 or something like that. And because, I mean, I didn't have a saddle where you put your feet, it was just the reins. And I fell off the horse, and I remember my dad like galloping over to me and seeing if I'm fine. And like the horse had just like stepped on my chest.
Oh.
And he was like, get back on the horse right now, get back on the horse. And I guess for other people, it could be like, oh my God, why are you not comforting her? But it was exactly what, you know, like a kid needs. If you don't get right back on it, you're going to be scared for life. And I think it's those little things that might not seem so meaningful back then, but now make me realize those are exactly the things that make carve you out to be the person you are, because yes. you don't allow failure to like hinder you from anything.
It gives you a really strong force and sense of yourself, right? And so that you believe that you can do everything, and that is so important to give children exactly that, I believe. So that's really powerful, and that's so amazing that and I can see the strength, because I can see, you know, and I can see while we're talking how strong you are, and that's really exciting. And
Thank you.
And you just mentioned that was the perfect bridge for the image that you send in, because I love that tradition that we have in the show here, that guests send their images, and you just mentioned the horse, and you sent that beautiful image of you and your sister, I believe it's your sister, in the ocean, and with your horses without the saddle. So maybe you can talk a bit more about that image, and where actually has this been shot, and when was that, and what does it make so special to you, that experience?
I think for me, it just reminds me of the summer holidays we had. And like, I mean, my dad wasn't irresponsible in the sense that he just thought, oh, I'll take my children out of the school, whatever. But like me and my sister were always really good students. And like, I always had such a thirst to learn. And so the teachers always said, like, look, they're the best of the class, without wanting to brag, that don't mean it in that way at all. Sure. But like, we just really loved, I loved school. I loved exams, as kinky as that may sound. And so it wasn't such a problem. And so we were able to do all these experiences. And that picture just for me symbolizes exactly that kind of freedom and just doing whatever you want and doing the unusual and just going for it and having experiences that maybe you don't normally, not everyone gets to have, and I'm so grateful for. I remember we were in, I think it was Fiji, and I was way too young to do my diving license. And my dad he loved diving. He would always, my mom did the diving license then with us, but before she didn't have one either. So my dad loved it forever, since ever. And he would always do like a holiday where he would go alone just to dive. And he was like, he'd love if his family could come with him. So he was like, let me take them somewhere where they can do this paddy diving course. And I think you have to be I don't know, I'm probably lying, something like at least 13 or something to do it. And I think I was like 8. And my dad, I remember him having money in his hand and like very subtly giving the diving instructor in Fiji the money and being like, yes, my daughter is 13. Uh-huh. And he was like, okay, I understand. And so, yeah, we did that. Yes. I could go on for hours. There's so many funny stories. But yeah, so it was always... it was always an adventure with him. And I wouldn't say I get bored easily, but I'm always out to find the next adventure and what else can I experience. And I think my family always says we're the extremes. We love the extremes. Everything is, more.
Well, that's a great attitude. Life is there to be lived, right? And in the end of your life, you don't want to sit there and say, I should have worked much more. No, and
I think for me, that's exactly what you're saying.
It's like about the memories and about the experiences. And I can totally relate to that. I think from a very young age, I loved creating memories as a gift for birthdays or something. So I always liked giving something that we could experience together. And so that is such a beautiful thing your dad and your of course your mom too and your family did for you, and that these memories will last forever, I'm very sure.
I completely agree. And I think we match well there, because for me, I always gift travels, and people, maybe that's selfish, because I'm like, I get to go too, but I just think that's something that no one will, like, I don't know, if you set like gift something materialistic, you could lose it or something could happen to it or it gets old, but memories you can always think back on. Yes. And it's something that, yeah, like we grew, I guess. Like, takes me to another story. Like, we grew up quite wealthy, and my dad, he came from nothing. He built it all himself and really was super self-made. But he just worked extremely hard. And there was also, with the crash that happened, there was a lot, like, they also lost everything. So I think learning or getting to know both sides of the world, both sides of the coin, yes, was so valuable. Like I'm even more grateful the experience that I get to do now, because nothing was handed to me in that sense, apart from having a wonderful, loving family And that doesn't say that I don't respect the people that get something handed, I think, amazing and great and use it and do something out of it. And how do you say, ich gönne es dir. Okay, so we were looking for the word in German, gönnen, but we've now deepled and Googled, and I guess it's just one of those German words. We have words for everything. So I'm going to try and explain it, what I mean.
Yes.
Is that I have no bad feelings at all. When someone is given money from home, I'm like, you go get it, and amazing. And it's much easier to make money when you already have money. But I'm also, I guess, proud to now make my way myself and I guess also be able and allowed to say what I've made for myself. And I guess that makes me proud. But I'm also, just super grateful to have experienced money as well, just because it's not like, you see someone on TV and it's so far away, like this was in your family. And so your mindset changes and you think, it's possible. It's not that far away. And I think if we all thought more like that, a lot more of us would go after our dreams.
Exactly. And I guess it's one of my mottos for myself is that I want to dream as big as I can, because I can scale it down anytime, but I want to aim really high, because then I most likely end up somewhere on the way, but maybe more far up than if I would have aimed for a little lower goal.
Isn't there that saying something like aim for the moon or aim for the moon, because if you fall, you'll land among the stars.
That's a beautiful
and
one.
I think that's also really nice.
It is, yes. And it's exactly that. So when you target something and you really want to achieve something, you will, of course, subconsciously and consciously put your energy into that, and you will make everything to reach that goal. And so there's nothing wrong about dreaming really big, because I guess that's how you change the world. And you won't, if you hold back and in the end of your life you regret that you didn't take that chance or you didn't do that and this. And that's exactly what we want to teach our son as well. So we have to think big and reach for your goals and go for it, and don't let anyone tell you that you can't do it.
Exactly. I completely to 100% agree. And I think, I think that I just came back from LA 2 days ago, and I think what I really loved about America, as you might say, it's so abgedroschen. Here we go, another German word. You guys are going to learn a lot of German words today. Yes. Or it's been said so many times. I guess it's a translation. But they all think big. Like in Germany, I often don't, people that I don't know and that don't know me, I don't talk about my dreams, because then I'm quite aware that it might often be like, what is she talking about or whatever. Yes. And like for me, I guess now I'll tell the world on your podcast, but like I would love to have an apartment in every city that I adore, or a house, and I'll build a business around it where there's a an app idea, and then I can also book in my friends and it reimburses itself because there's a business around it. But wait, now I've got so excited about my idea that I've lost my string of thought.
It doesn't matter, but that's exactly...
I found it.
But I just wanted to say, if I may, I really love that attitude, because, well, there's a very public example for that. You probably know Gary Vaynerchuk, and he is one of the most famous marketing guys, I guess, in the world, because he is so public on social media. But he always said that his big ambition and goal is to buy the New York Jets, which is like an insane goal, because they are like in the billions. So you need a couple of billions of dollars to buy that team.
Yeah.
But he always said that is my North Star, and I just want to do I want to work for reaching that goal. And what I do is I tell everyone, I teach everyone what I do, and I get them all behind me. And eventually it will lead there. But it's not about reaching that goal. It's about the journey, and it's about doing what he loves. And that's, I guess, there's nothing wrong about you wanting to have an apartment in every city in the world that you love.
Yeah.
Why not? It's.
I think I agree, and I think that's what I loved about LA or America in general. I think they do dream, like, it's weird to not have dreams there, yeah. And it's more like everyone is living the life of, they want to be an actor, but then on the side, their side hustles, they're also a waiter, or they call it server there, which I learned. I was like, what is a server? But I learned it's a waiter. And I think that's great. Like, go after what you want. And I mean, yeah, have your side hustle of working a few different jobs. I also do loads of different things. And together it makes me. And I think you, and on the way, like, if I think of what did I want to do 10 years ago, and where do I see where I'm going, it's completely different to where I am now or what I want to do now. And I've just, there's so many more interests that have come along the way because you just did go that way. And I think you should just take every chance you get. And for me, my motto is I want to take every chance I get as long as I don't walk over anyone. I would never take a chance if I'm hurting someone else while I do it. Because then that, even if that did work out, it wouldn't feel good for me. And I think as long as you have your values straight, then why not dream big? Like, we live once. I want to live, or I want to be 80 and then look back at life and be like, damn, yeah, I made a lot of mistakes, but I also learned from them, and I also had crazy experiences while I did it.
Exactly. And what you just said, that reminds me of the first episode of this podcast with Pratik Naik. He's a research artist and entrepreneur from Austin in Texas. And cool. he said that all his success comes from being delusional. So he always thinks so big, and he believes that he can do everything, and therefore he does everything.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of doing this. And I really related to that because I have, well, I always did what I felt was right. But of course you have to put the hours and the energy in, right? So nothing comes for free and you have to do it. But if you feel it, there's nothing wrong with purchasing your dream and just going for it. And so that's a wonderful statement to actually go into the next block of the podcast, because it's about your career and about mindset. And there was a question from Mashukur Rahman. He sent a question in via Instagram, and he said, how did it go in the beginning when you went, when you founded your first company? Was there a struggle, and what is your struggle to success story? And I really like that question a lot. And would you take us to the moment when you started your production company and what it actually felt like when you jumped into that cold water, as we say in German?
Sure. So I guess it ties well into where we were, like me leaving that advertising agency and having the experience of knowing whatever happens, I never want to go back to there. So I have to find a different solution. And while I was modeling, I was sometimes close to some clients, and then they would know that I love to organize, and I guess sometimes a little messy in my private, but extremely organized in my business side. And so they were like, oh, look, you know a lot of people. Why do you know a photographer that we could take, or do you know someone that we could use for our shooting? And then there were some just random experiences where I would then, like, while modeling, also produce the thing that I was modeling for, by putting the people together, doing the art buying. And so without me having the back thought that I wanted to do a production company, I had done these things. And then leaving that company, I was like, well, what do I do now? And then I was like, well, actually, I should probably look at what I do, what I like to do, seeing as I'll be doing that for a long time and I'll have to work a lot for it. So I guess that's how my first company, Wintle Production, was born. And we started off as a photo and film production company. And then only a few years later, and thanks to my ex-boyfriend, who was a techie, he opened the world to me with everything online marketing. And he showed me that, not in a way that he was like, it was a very good teacher in the sense, he just like, I found it fascinating. And when you're interested in someone, of course, you want to know what they do. So I was just like, tell me everything. And he, yeah, I guess I have to take it one lap longer. I'm sorry, guys. While I was at the advertising company, I wasn't so happy, like I said, and I felt like I kept offering things like, hey, we don't have an Instagram account. What if I did the Instagram account? I'm happy to do it in my free time. I don't want money for it, but I would love to like just experience it myself. And you guys aren't doing anything anyway now, so it's no harm done. But it was always like, no, like just stick to your topics and that's it, and don't look over the, you, I don't know,
Telegram.
There we go, guys. Another word for you. Don't look over the, I don't know, again. Anyway, moving on. So I got bored, or I was like, I just don't feel like this is really everything to life. So I started doing this online affiliate marketing course where they teach you how to sell an online product and then build a website to distribute something, for example, like an ebook. And I was really into it. And in that time, I met my ex-boyfriend who was working at one of the biggest companies that does exactly that. And so for me, of course, it was like, I don't know, I guess super interesting to hear more of that from someone that works in the field. And so it was like as if someone had opened a door to, and it was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Because I feel like in our creative industry, there are a lot of artists which are amazing, but they don't then tie the, how does your great picture or video then be seen by many people? And I think that's what makes it so interesting, the combination about knowing how to get your art seen. And so during those 7 years, I then developed that company into a full service agency, which so now it's three departments, being the photo and film production, online marketing, and also social media. And then that was kind of the, I don't know, I guess, full service idea that I thought was more valuable for clients, because you are not just handing them some here's pretty material, but you're also doing yourself a favor, because if the photos and the videos perform better, then of course the client is a lot more inclined to book you again, because they're like, oh, they've done a good job. And so for me, it was just it made sense to develop it further. And of course, I had many ups and downs, and there were struggles or days where I was just like, oh my God, I feel like I'm working 48 hours a day, although there aren't even those that amount. But I think as long as you know why you're doing it, you put up with it, or at least I feel that way. And I think what I've really learned, I remember when I was living in Hong Kong, there was this photographer I met who I was showing my book, and he was, we were talking, and I was telling him like what I want to achieve in life. And he was like, just keep doing what you're doing and it will come. And at that time, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I want it now. And it's not going fast enough. And I want it now. And but now, 10 years later, I'm like, he was right. Like, you just, consistency is what pays off. And so I think if any tip that I can give is that you just, even if times get hard, keep going, never give up. And it's that what changes, I think, being successful and not successful, because a lot of people, they drop out when it gets hard or when it gets tiring. And that's why then people get weeded out naturally, just because they give up, because it gets too hard. And I think, I guess, I hope that answers his question.
It does, yes. Thank you very much for giving that deep dive.
No, and I think it's also the failures that make you the person that you are. And I've had so many like light bulb moments where I'm like, and it's something that is mostly so simple, but it, there's some shift in mindset or something. Mostly where I'm just like, what the hell? Like, how did I not realize that? And then that's what, it changes everything. And it is mostly out of failures and then being like, okay, well, I guess this didn't work. So what's the other way? And then sometimes the second and third way also don't work, but then you still need to go for the fourth and fifth. And then that's, I think, what sets you apart.
Yes. And I think also in addition to that, you don't have to do all this alone, right? So you may look for some people that you trust, even if it's competition, doesn't matter, because everybody needs some kind of peer group to grow from. And in the beginning of my career, for example, I was afraid of comparing myself to others or asking for help or for an advice. And eventually I said, no, I have to do it, because what is the worst thing that can happen? And there was nothing that I actually found. So I had to go it and ask others that have had more experience than me. And that led to so much more peace of mind. That I was like, okay, so that's normal. Okay, I don't have to. There's nothing wrong when the client doesn't answer in just a heartbeat. Okay, I didn't do anything wrong. Okay, but I didn't know. I was just so, I don't know. I was confident in what I was able to deliver, but I was very impatient. So I was unsure about the communication part or the expectation part. And that was something that I had to learn. And that was so important that somebody actually told me that, hey, that's completely normal and fine. There's nothing you did wrong. But I didn't know better at that moment in my career. And I was happy to eventually have the courage to reach out to someone that was doing the same thing in a different company or for himself. And that was so much freeing to actually have found someone that I could speak to. And that's one thing that I always say, that just find people that you trust and that you value, and build that kind of tribe to, you know, grow together, because in the end we are all exchangeable.
Exactly. And I think I guess for me, I also had that learning experience when, for me, it derived out of insecurity. Like, I didn't want to make a fool of myself or something, like asking something, but nowadays I think completely differently. Like, now I've made a lot of mistakes. So firstly, I love being able to help someone else not make that mistake, not just for helping them, but it also gives me a good feeling that I have been able to spare someone from making the same mistake. I don't feel like, oh, they're going to then take something away from me. Not at all. I just feel like, was able to do my good deed today. And I think nowadays I'm just like, I've made enough mistakes, and I'm sure I will still make many. But if there is a way of fast tracking my way to where I want to go, why not do it? I'm more than happy to pay someone to give me advice on, I mean, or like book myself a workshop or something. But it's also this, you need to have the mindset that you want to invest in yourself, and that is money well spent.
100%. That's the best investment you can do.
And like, I think you can either go the way that it will take you much longer. You'll make mistakes. You might learn the same thing, but you missed out on making a lot of money while trying to get there. We might just pay something and then get the advice that actually allows you to work well and without making the mistake, because you were able to learn from someone else's mistake.
Yes, that's exactly my vibe, because I have experienced it myself. And that was actually, that was one of the reasons why I started this podcast, because I wanted to have that kind of hub where everybody could go to, you know, relate to someone that is in kind of a similar situation or that has been there, and that tells you, even if it's, maybe you just needed to hear one more time that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to, you know, move on. It's okay to leave the job that brings you that security, and to go on your own way, to pursue your dream. And I think that's what it's about, to give the little nudge that someone needs to eventually step up and say, okay, I'm going to do my thing. And even if it's not working out the way I want in the beginning, but staying consistent, as you say, will get you further. And even when you're open to, you know, new experiences, it's such a rewarding feeling to, you know, just go your way and see that, hey, I can do it. It's okay. And it's great to have people like you and others on the way to, you know, just relate to and have that kind of feedback, even if it's just, or let's say like kind of a mentorship, even if people don't really have you as your mentor, you can be part in giving your experience through podcasts, through blogs, whatever, through magazines, and people can find that information, and that's so valuable. And if people wouldn't go and express themselves, we wouldn't be where we were, where we are. And that's, I guess that's what I wanted to say.
No, and I think your podcast is exactly that, and you will always find people in different industries where everyone is then, someone might not be able to relate to me, but can then relate to someone else that works in the industry that they're working in. And I think we need to lose more the idea of sharing something, your mistakes makes you worse. Like, I think it's relatable to, for example, if you're having an argument with someone and the someone apologizes to you and is like, I'm, I thought about it. You're right. I reflected on it. And actually, yeah, I'm sorry. Then I feel like it completely levels the ground. I mean, you'd have to be quite a crazy person to then be like, go back onto them and get mad at them. You're like, oh, that's a big person to be able to admit to that. And I think it shows more of strength than weakness to be able to admit to a mistake. And I think that that is something that in our culture, I feel like it's getting better. But I feel like that's why I'm super happy to share my mistakes and my failures, yes. and I've had several of them. But I think it's important. Like I was so sad that my dad died when I was mid 20 or even a little before, because I felt like I was missing out on so much to ask him now. He was so business smart. I would have profited so much on that. And I always really loved it when someone was able to mentor me or something, regardless of how much. Like I have this photographer friend who I was booked as a model. And when he found out that I wanted to do a production, he was just so wonderful. He was like, look, I think that's great. And do you want to have a phone call? And I'm going to show you some offers from other production companies and show you how it's done, so that you already have like kind of a foot in. And I'm to this day so, so grateful. And to this day, we are still working together. And it's just share your experiences, share everything. We are not, you know, the cake, I feel like the cake gets bigger. It doesn't get smaller. Like the more you share, the more you network, the bigger the cake gets.
Yes, there's something for everybody because it's not a one-way road. Every relationship, every connection will benefit from that kind of transaction.
For sure.
You say that connecting the right people is what you do best. And when did you find out about this trait of yours and what does it actually mean to you?
Well, to me, I think I generally, I love people. Like, not even that I only love nice people. I find people just as a race, human race, super interesting and something where you can learn from. Like, when I meet new people, I love, not in a creepy way, but analyzing them and seeing, like, what do they do, comparing it to myself, but then in a way that you can reflect on it and be like, does this person do it better than you do it? And do I have something to change? Or maybe you realize, oh, I wouldn't do it like that. Remember to not be like that. And so I think on a psychological way, I think humans are so interesting. And I feel like due to my job, I got to meet so many people. So it was like a school of reading people. I would say I'm still to this day very naive. Like I always have my mindset of me, myself, wouldn't do anything bad. And so I've luckily often had people in my close friendship group that are like, be a bit more closed and don't always spill your whole life to people that you don't know because you think that they're not going to talk about it. But I've rambled on so much that I've kind of lost my trail. But why I connect people is because I think generally my passion for people, and then I, knowing a lot of people, I've often been the person that you ring when you're looking for something. I guess generally in those three areas that I most work in, and then funnily enough, the photographer I just spoke about who helped me when I was moving into production, he came from software and he was very like we had like a business like we had a production the next day and we had like a business dinner and he asked me like, what do you want to earn in like in your life or in a year? And then I told him and he was like, well, I guess you picked the wrong business for that. And I was like, yeah, I know. So I guess I'm gonna have to do something else, right, as well. And then he was like, but you know, like, you know so many people and you love connecting people and that you do that well, why don't you make a business out of that? And one second, I'm going to have a sip of my red wine because my mouth is so dry. Delicious. So he was like, well, why didn't you make a business out of that? And I was like, oh, you know what? Like, yeah, I mean, the amount of time I spend, you know, then calling someone, writing someone, briefing someone in a job that I'm not even involved with, and even maybe I also am not then able to make sure it goes well because I'm not involved. Also sounds like a bit of a control freak, but maybe I am. So I guess that's how We Are Network, which is the company I now founded with my partner, Stephanie Stürmer, whose voice message you heard before.
Heard, yes.
Came about, and it's exactly that. That's the exact idea, and I guess that's my like slogan: bringing the right people together is what I do best. Is because that's what I believe in, and that's what I think. There are so many talented people in the world, and we don't all need to belong to a company or something. I love the way how freelancers work, and I also think that good people are mostly, you can't even pay them what they would want in a month. So this project-based idea, and I also think that's how the world is evolving and you have fast path things. And so I think it's a new way of working. And our model is more like we don't just shove an expert over and be like, now have fun. It's more like companies come to us that have, I guess they're missing or they're lacking in expertise in something. Yes. And so you're not doing a lot of help if you just push over an expert, but it's we're there to then make sure that it runs smoothly, that there is someone to quality control, that there is someone that can make sure that you're actually bringing the right people together. And you also have some kind of empathy, or at least I hope I do, to be able to also match personalities. Because I think in a world of artists, I see myself more as a service, Dienstleistung, there we go, guys, and less of an artist. But I also would say I have zero ego. Like for me, I often work on a set where there are many egos around, and then it's very important to have not also have an ego. Like I always describe my production job as being a babysitter for adults, and I enjoy it. Like I have a lot of maybe more head thinking work before and after, but on the day I'm the feel good manager. I'm like, hey, do you want some coffee? Can I make you anything nice? And so I think it's all about, we live once, we want to feel good. I want to go home being like, I had a great day. And I think that's the life I want to live. And that's why I think bringing the right people together really is that important, and why I've made it my mission.
Absolutely. I guess the one thing that you just said resonates very much with me, that you said that you are the feel good manager, because there's something so true about this. People will not remember what you did for them, but they will remember how they felt when you had the interaction.
Yeah.
And that is so important, that people get the understanding of, I can feel good in the relationship, in the situation, in the service. Because if two people can do the same, they will book the one that they resonate with.
Yeah.
Right? Not the...
True. I completely agree. And I think, I mean, that's why we are freelancers, right? Or that's why we have our own companies, because we want to be able to have the liberty of choosing the people we want to work with.
Yeah.
And like, and I would say, I mean, I love money, of course, but if I had to, if I'm earning money, but having to have a terrible day for it, then I'm sorry, but I don't want to do it. Then I'd rather not earn that money. That's exactly. The freedom I've chosen.
That's bad money.
Yeah, I don't want it. Like, then take your money and give it to someone else, because I don't want to work with you.
Yeah. And strict no asshole policy.
Yeah, no asshole policy. Good vibes only. And I live it to the fullest.
That's amazing. And that's the way to go, in my opinion, especially in the creative industry. As you said, there's so many egos.
Yeah.
And work gets good if the ego steps aside. Some people don't realize that. But
yeah.
Eventually, I
listened to one of your podcasts before, and I think she also said no space for ego or something. And
yeah, Marjorie, and, yes.
Yeah, and I completely agree. It's a great podcast episode if any of you guys want to listen to another one.
Marge is amazing. She's a wonderful person. And
she sounds amazing and really lovely. So I think like for me, I want to live in a world with more compassion. I feel like we don't need all this like jealousy, hate or something. Like, the world is big enough for us all. And if we were all just a bit more loving, the world would be a beautiful place.
Let's put that on a big billboard.
Yes.
I love that. But to wrap up We Are Network, so people listening now, who can work with you? What kind of service do you match? And so what is it that you like bring together?
So We Are a Network is a company that also has three divisions, also photo and film production, online marketing, and social media. And we source, we have a lot of experts, but they're also mostly freelancers that we have just worked with several times, that we trust, that we know are good quality. And we then match these to clients. Let's call it, there's a fashion brand that needs a new campaign done. They also need their website remodeled or relaunched, and then they have no idea about Instagram, or they have an Instagram account, but they want to change their strategy. Then they could technically come to us and we'd be like, cool, let's get to know your brand. And then we're like, okay, understood. Now we put teams together for either short-term projects or long-term projects, where these experts that are in these three divisions come together and produce or make something happen for that brand. And so it's a very, I guess, for me, I think like a risk-free model, because you don't have any long-term contracts. It's flexible. Hours can be used to how they need it to be used. You have people that are the best in their field. They are always, do workshops. You have people that, I guess, as a company, if you would get them into your company and have to pay for them on a long-term basis, you can't afford them. But in a way that we do it, you can. It comes out to the same, but you just have a much higher quality. And I think that's the way we want to kind of, make this agency business better, different, better, hopefully. But also, we don't want to say we only work on the client side. We also work with agencies where they might have a client where they're worried that if they bring in another person or another agency, they might lose that client, because that often happens. You have two agencies working, and then one time they just swap. Instead, we want to be kind of like a white label solution, where you can use us and our experts, but just offer that service also to your clients. And it's still all run under your agency. I don't need to have contact. I can be the contact to the agency. I don't need to have the direct contact to the client.
Understand. Okay, great. And today you're producing many, for example, high fashion editorials for big name magazines such as Vogue, for example, and Harper's Bazaar, and many more. And so what does your job in that situation look like? And what's your day to day like?
Well, in our industry, it's you either have a commissioned shoot, which for people listening who are maybe not in the magazine game, commissioned means that the magazine came to you and said, look, we're looking for this kind of theme. And then I go and find or like do an art buying where, which means I find a photographer that could match that theme, a stylist. I do a model casting, I find a location that matches it, and then we put that all together and do the shooting for the magazine. Or the other case is where creative teams are like, I guess magazines are something that, in my opinion, they're often an invest of time, money, but they are those things that bring you further. Because clients then see something that is creative and can imagine, this style works well for what I'm imagining in my future campaign. And so that's a good reason of doing magazines. So in that case, there's often teams that then come and we do something together, and I then help them publish those the editorial that we then make in magazines that have big names, because it's an invest in yourself that you can then catch the attention of other clients that then pay your commercial projects.
That's great to know, because I guess that's one question that at least I get asked very frequently, and I believe you too, that how do I get into the magazine? What do you do to get that exposure especially in the beginning of careers. Of course, you in the beginning, it must be a lucky punch if you get to magazines like that. But anyhow, it's very important to understand how to get your work out there, how to get it seen.
Yeah.
And do you have got any suggestions for people that are just started in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, when I started my photo and film production company, I knew I wanted to do it, but I had no portfolio. So what was I going to do? Go to clients and be like, hey, book me, please, but I can't show you what I can do because I have no references. So I was like, okay, what do I know how to do? And then I was like, okay, well, I guess we could make editorials which I can then send out to magazines and get something published. And so I guess the magazine game is here we go again, Fleißarbeit. It's just, what's that word?
You have to put the work in, yes.
So yeah, you really have to put the work in, and it's just, it takes a lot of time. You need to research who are the editors, you need to find out their contacts. And during the years of doing it now, I've just accumulated a list of, I think, maybe 1,200 international editors around the world of all these magazines. So nowadays, I mean, we also offer it as a service that we say, I never send anything out, to be honest, that doesn't reflect the work standard or level of work that I want to, because I always think, I mean, it's my... No one can pay me that money. Like I'm working with my name, and I don't want my name ever to not reflect the sure. level that I want to work on.
That's a great quality control, right? So that you, that's also one thing that people, of course, get as a feedback then, and that's good to know.
Yeah, and I have a few photographers that I work with that have called me and exactly that. Or I had a call today, which is very sweet. She also asked me about, she was just starting out and she wanted to, she wants to do an editorial, and if I could maybe look over her work. And I know a lot of people would be like, look, I don't have time for that. But I always think back to the time when I was starting out, and I was so grateful if someone would, you know, spend the time to just tell me how it works. And now I feel like I'm making it my mission to also take the time and I want to explain how it works. And so I often have photographers that are like, oh, look, can you take a look, or they send me all of their pictures, and then I will make a selection and be like, okay, I think these ones have to be, these could be the selection. And then they might do the retouching, and I'll be like, look, I think the retouching is terrible. Like, and I will always be very straight, but not in a way that like, I hate your work and that's it. But more like, I think there's room for improvement, and how can we get there, and constructive feedback, because otherwise it's not useful. And I think, just to get back to the question, magazine work is, you have to see it as an invest in yourself. You have to try and get a team that is very, that good at what they do, even if you're starting out. Like, everyone starting out can still have a good sense of an aesthetic eye, and then maybe you have to, if you're not good at retouching or you just haven't had the experience, maybe you should get a retoucher to do then lift those pictures to the next level, and then you have a much better chance. I mean, nowadays, I guess the magazine world has changed a lot to what it used to be. Nowadays, there are so many of us that are producing these, and so many of them sending them out. So the magazines, at least international ones, often don't even have to pay to receive these editorials. It's more that they get sent many, and you can be lucky to get them published. And so, so I think magazines is something really worth doing for anyone starting out, or even people who are already well on their way but want to just be free from the thought like the skirt needs to lie in the right right position, or the t-shirt needs to look a certain way because you have a client in the background that's being like, the user or the person that's buying it, yes, won't know what it looks like. So you're able to be super creative, and that's the beautiful thing about editorial work. And I think it's what makes you be seen by the rest of the industry.
Exactly. And that's where you can express your artistic eye and where you can be like completely free
on that. For sure.
Or maybe you relate to a topic or a scene, as you just mentioned earlier, that they have got something, a special topic that they want to cover, and then you be creative under that under that topic, right?
For sure, for sure. I mean, I guess any advice I can give to people or listening to this podcast, I often have editorials sent to me, they want to book the service to get it published. And then they'll send me an editorial, like a summer editorial. They'll send it to me maybe in April or let's say June. And then one would, as a person that's not in the industry or hasn't had the experience, you'd be like, yeah, of course, that makes sense. Because, I mean, June, summer editorial, of course. The problem is the magazines, of course, are already a few months forward. They pre-plan their content. And so by the time you have a editorial sent to you in June, they are already in August and the August issue is closed. The next one is September. And September, no magazines show summer clothing. They already show autumn and winter. So as that editorial might be fantastic, but you'll never get it into a print magazine. You might, if you're lucky, then still get it into an online magazine, which, in my opinion, I think, each Vogue, everything has an online version. I personally think online is fantastic because it just gets seen by more people. But I know how all of us creatives loves to see our work out in print. But I think there are a few tips that you can't know as someone that's not really been working with it. And so I'm always happy to advise and give tips, because it's just a shame when you put so much work into it and then it doesn't work out just because of that. And it's like, ah.
Yes, that's super great advice. And I guess that people can really take something home from this. Thank you for sharing this.
Sure.
It's so important that, you know, people ask and get to know. And it's so valuable to have an answer from a pro like you.
Thank you. No question is stupid. And I have so many. And I've never...
Same here.
I always say, you are way too direct and you always ask the uncomfortable questions. And I love asking the uncomfortable questions. I do always say, like, if you don't want to answer, you don't have to, but I will ask the uncomfortable question. I love to.
Yes. And that's the way how to get forward, right? I do have one question that I would ask you, and that is from the previous guest. And because I think it matches quite well to the block that we're in right now before we move on to the next one. And that's actually Ava Pivo.
Ah.
She's a beauty and fashion photographer, and I think you know her quite well. And so she asks, without knowing that it was going to be you, she asked, did you have a mentor, and which impact did he or she have on you, and are you still in contact?
I would say the three most valuable in my life, and I think I only really, I guess you learn something from everyone, but the three business context would be my dad in Young Life, my ex-boyfriend for in the last 7 years, showing me everything digital in a very loving way, and definitely also the photographer who also like took me by the hand, and I think there's no harm done in asking for help, and mentoring is the biggest present anyone can give to you.
Sure. And I believe the impact was really strong because there were these close relationships, and that's something that is that's super valuable, and that makes you grow so much. And I think I would take this moment to give you another voice feedback.
Oh, I'm excited.
Before we go into the future of the creative industry, if you don't mind. Here is Stephanie one more time.
You're cute.
a lot of moments make me smile when I think about her. It's the way she laughs, moments when she is most at ease, being goofy, funny and full of joy. This is so contagious. Oh, and of course, her imitating animal sounds. Just wow.
So we now know that you can imitate animals and that you burp like a champion, as you said.
Yeah, drove my mom crazy. She would like go insane when my dad and I were doing burping things. I have to say, I don't burp that often anymore, to be fairly honest. Mom, if you're listening, I promise I don't. She was always like, never do that in front of a man. But I don't know, as a kid, I was just such a tomboy. Like, I'd come home with like football scars and like open knees, and my mom would be like, I had a daughter. Like, why are you so much like a guy? and so it wasn't well seen, but me and my dad were very close. I know, and yes, animal sounds, I guess general sounds. Like I don't know.
What is your best one?
Sorry?
What is your best one?
Oh, God. I think it needs to come natural.
Surprise me at any moment that you feel it. If you feel it, surprise me. That would be
awesome. Yes, I'll surprise you, maybe.
Okay.
I love Steffi. She's the cutest. Thank you, Steffi, for
giving this wonderful insights into your relationship. That's most appreciated. How do you feel about we jump into the future of the industry? Because I think that's so interesting, such a interesting time right now that so sure. many things are changing, things are evolving so fast. And now that you're in contact with a lot of photographers, a lot of creatives, a lot of clients, what do you think are the biggest challenges and shifts for photographers and creatives in the industry right now?
I think generally people are so scared of change, and I listened to a podcast of yours, and you also guys discussed this, so I don't want to repeat myself too much or repeat you guys too much, but I resonated it when I was listening to it, because I feel like a lot of people are always very scared of putting themselves out of work there's always, when Wikipedia came around, everyone was like, oh, but like, what's gonna happen, and people are in school, and now artificial intelligence, and everyone's always worried, and or that we're gonna all lose our jobs. But I feel like with every technology innovation, like, so many more opportunities arise. Like, I watched this series, it's Höhle der Löwen, or in English it's called Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. And there are so many ideas where you think, with the technology that used to have, you'd not even be able to do this app idea or something like that. And so I feel like we need to stop thinking that our world is getting smaller, it's getting bigger. And I think that in the way of photography, or I think you guys discussed it as well last, like, it opens ideas. And I think you said that it's not going to be AI that takes jobs away. It's going to be people using AI that takes jobs away. So there's no point closing yourself off to new technology. You need to learn how to use it to your advantage. And so I think it would be, in our creative industry, it's super important keeping up with trends, seeing what's happening in the world, and how can you think different, think outside the box to make something change, or like use it to your advantage, and stop seeing it as a problem or something that's taking something away from you. No, it's going to give you something when used correctly.
True. And do you feel that the fashion and beauty productions will change over the course of the coming, I don't know, I don't even know a time frame, but do you have a feeling that things will change? And for example, AI, or let's say parts, at least partially, will merge into the real photography and be replacing like things that have been like that forever?
Well, I mean, there's been things around like that. I mean, there have been model agencies that just have AI models or have models where you get your face scan and then they can use that. But I mean, creating something like that also is very expensive. So you'd have to really use that face a lot for it to pay off. Same, for example, I have a tech client that they digitalize fabric. So they have a software and a hardware where you put in a sample of the fabric and then a photo gets done, and you can kind of design, it makes a digital file with which you can design your prototypes of your fashion, fashion collection that's going to come out. And normally you would say, but you know, that could then, you know, you could then get an AI model or an avatar model, and then you won't even need to do shootings and we'll all be out of jobs. But actually, maybe it's the solution that we need. For example, I was just doing a case study or writing up a case study for them now, or putting it into a format. And it was super interesting to read because they were talking about this this underwear brand that they just did a case study with where they do embroideries. And before, if they did a collection with embroideries, so stitched flowers on like a lacy bra, then they would, and then they saw it and they were like, I don't like the color. I would like to do it in a blue. Then you'd have to firstly wait so long till you get that finished prototype again, or you, but in this case, you can just digitalize the sample and change it on the computer. So it speeds up the work process. You probably are able to gain more clients. You could probably grow your company. It's going to give us opportunities. So I feel like we all really need to stop worrying about this. We need to, and also yes, it's going to like reduce waste. Like instead of having loads of samples made that are the wrong color and they're then thrown away, we can already see like digitally if it's going to work or not. So absolutely. I think, yeah,
that's well said. And we are on a new record already, I think, for the length of a podcast. So it is super exciting to discuss with you about all these topics.
Thank you. Can give it back.
Hey, Tiffany, you just mentioned your godfather, and I remember from our previous conversation that we had recently that he was very special in your life so far. So would you like to jam a bit on that?
He is. He's one of the most special people. I would say all my friends or everyone who knows him always says they all want a Peter. He's called Peter. And he knows me since I've been a baby. So he's changed my nappies. I've grown up with him. We always went for holidays to Germany, to just me, my sister and I, to spend time with him. And I lived with him for a few years. He would, when I like during uni or when I came back from Milan a while, and like we even I guess he's so many people in one. He's like a dad to me. He's like a big brother. He's an uncle. He's a godfather. He's a granddad. He's all these people in one. And he takes such good care of me. When I used to be really unhealthy food wise, he would love to bake me cakes, or I hope he loved to bake me cakes. I loved his cakes anyway. and then I changed my diet, and I was like, Peter, I love you to bits, but I really want to not eat sugar anymore. And then now, like twice a week, he brings me a loaf of really healthy bread, or makes me a asparagus salad, or whatever. Like he spoils me so much, and I believe everyone in the world should have a Peter.
All right, that sounds really amazing. So thank you, Peter, for you're doing a really good job, and keep doing this, please.
Yes.
All right. So how about we jump into the quickfire questions now?
Sure, hit me.
What would be your statement on a large billboard?
I think my statement would be, the fears we don't face become our limits.
That's a deep. That's a good one. What is your favorite fun hobby?
I would say bowling or playing darts. I even have an electrical darts at home, and everyone who comes to visit me, I'm like, please play darts with me. Or I think maybe it's this kid thing, but I just love doing something. Billiard, I'm bad at all of them. That said, like I'm bad at them all, but that doesn't matter. I just want to play it to play it.
Okay. What could the next generation do better than you?
That's a difficult one. I really think that, or I hope that we just start thinking more as a human race and we get over all these difficulties together. Like, we are one race. Like, stop with everything else.
That would be so cool. 100% agree.
Yeah.
What would you love for your peers to say about you on your 80th birthday?
She really loved life, and she gave so much love to others that it made it a better world. That would be amazing if I can achieve that by then.
What do you believe in that others might call crazy?
I don't know. For me, I think it would be, regardless of what you has happened to you in life, that you still are able to remain with that naivety, and you can still have encounters with people with the same fresh eyes without having back thoughts what might happen, and that you keep that kind of childish joy.
Which celebrity or band would you like to meet, and why?
I have to say, I always not the one that keeps up with all the celebrities, but the first one that comes to mind right now is maybe Gwyneth Paltrow, just because I was I saw her episodes of The Goop and it inspired me to start a heart project called Project B-Boy, which stands for Best Version of Yourself. My aim and goal one day will be to have like a website where people can go onto if you're like new to Earth. Maybe by then we have aliens on the planet, and then you can go on there, and in every be it nutrition, be it fitness, be it wellness, be it spirituality, be it beauty, there's like a go-to for life, and she inspired me to start that project, so her.
Amazing. I didn't hear about that. I need to check this out. It's really cool.
Nope, you do. I'll send it to you.
Okay, cool. What is easier for you to say no to today than a few years ago?
I think just the fact of being able to say no, because now I more know my what time is worth, and I see saying no also as saying yes to myself.
That's great. That's really good. That's one thing that I heard so many times in my life, actually. A yes to someone else can be a no to yourself.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Works in both ways, right? And but it's also so easy to forget.
And I'm... still to this day, I often say yes probably more than I say no, but I've tried to learn that I need to say no more, because you just can't do everything, and when you do something, then you should have it as a priority to do that good, and you can only do that if you say no a few more times.
Yes, and the no doesn't have to be delivered in a bad way.
So, no, not at all.
Right, so... And I think that's what you mentioned earlier, when people send their editorials to you to be published. It's something that you can say with confidence that
hey, this can be improved and that can be done by this and that, and then you'll have a chance. And that's fair enough, because that's what gives people guidance.
Yeah.
What or who inspires you the most, and what are your creative resources?
I would say everyone who lives their life to the fullest, that is a bit unapologetic, still in mind not hurting anyone else, but just goes for it. And so I don't have anyone, I'm sorry, anyone specific in mind, but my friends, family, people that build me up, don't tear me down, business partners, they all do.
Cool. What is your favorite book you gave as a gift to someone?
Whew. Anyone who knows me will now have to laugh, because I'm not such the book girl and more the podcast. And so I think I'm going to go with, no one else is going to see it, but you can, these two, which is the six minute journal and the Boss Babe Planner, which Steffi gave me. That's which cool. They, it's like just a few minutes a day, and you kind of, it's something nice to look back on, and it also structures you a little.
Yes.
That would be my book of choice.
That's an amazing book, or at least amazing concept, because it helps you so much to reflect on your day. And actually, for example, here in our family, we have that kind of tradition to talk about that with our son in the end of every day, to ask him, hey, what did you like the most about this day? What would you like to what didn't you like?
Yeah.
And what made you happy? And could you help someone? And these questions we discuss every day, and that became, it's kind of the same thing, right? So you have this kind of reflection of the day, and actually it helps you to be more grateful and happy in the situation that you are in.
Yeah,
in the day.
No, that's so, you're such a great dad, or you such a great family. That's such a nice thing, and I think everyone should do that. Like I feel so often you lie in bed and it's, you can dwell on things that went wrong. That's not going to help anyone. But if you're grateful what did go right, I feel like it just makes life easier, and there's always something to be grateful for.
Exactly. What are your three favorite apps on your smartphone? Now I'm really curious.
I would say photos, because I have about, I think, 70,000 photos on my phone. A lot of them are like screenshots or something that I'm trying to remember. I'm sadly one of those people that then never goes through them again unless I'm looking for something. So I need to make a note to myself right now that I should do that. Then I guess WhatsApp. Because it's amazing to keep in contact. You can do video calls, like you just, like wherever in the world, just helps you stay connected to your loved ones. And then the third one, as cheesy it may sound, maybe Instagram, because it's just, even if most of my feed are animal videos, but I would say also that, like, I mean, great for work and also great for some funny reels to get sucked into and waste some time.
Exactly. All right. Last one. What makes you happy?
What makes me happy? Good question. So many things make me happy. I think absolutely living life to the fullest. Tattoo on my arm says make a wish, and I believe that you just have to wish for it, and you have to think for manifest it. And I've really experienced it the last few years, that every time I've then thought about things more intensely, out of some reason, like, it just comes to you. And and like you said before, you have to work for it, of course, but somehow, like, you can really, in German, there is a saying, das Leben ist kein Ponyhof. And I'm like, yeah, it is. Life is, Leben ist kein Wunschkonzert. And I'm like, yes, it is. Like, you can just wish for it. And then, so I think we have everything going for us. Life is an adventure, and that's what makes me happy.
Yeah, I 100%. I know that many people are not really into the theory of sending energy into the universe or having a high frequency and therefore attract other high frequencies. But I 100% relate to that. I have experienced that many times in my life, that I wanted to have a certain experience, and I wanted to make something happen, and I didn't leave any doubt that this is going to happen, and it happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very powerful thing, and I believe that more and more people are getting aware of this.
I think so, and I think it was a podcast as well. I was going to say a book, and I was like, no, it wasn't a book. Don't kid yourself, Tiffany. where they were like, they said, you have to really believe, like, already be grateful for it, like, as if it already happened. And I swear to the people listening there, it really works. Give it a try, please.
Yes, and there is also scientific proof.
Law of attraction, yeah.
Of that, for example, Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza, he is very deep into this topic. And so, you know, okay.
I love him. I mean, he's crazy. He had a motorcycle accident, broke all his spine thing. They said he could never walk again. And with a pure, his mind, he fucking healed himself. He runs marathons.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And we've been discussing about meditation earlier, right? And so he has very powerful meditations. And I can strongly suggest, if someone's interested in that, read about Joe Dispenza's work and try the meditations, because that will lead you to some very exciting experiences.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if this is the space now, but you should also sometime tell people what you told me yesterday or when we had our conversation about how, like, we also relax. Yeah. And you told me how you got into meditation and told me about breath work as well. Mm-hmm. And you sent me like 4 videos, and I tried the first one yesterday, and it's like crazy. Like, I'm one of those people that can never shut off my brain, so meditating is really difficult for me, and it's something I really want to get into. But yeah, the videos you sent me, which maybe you can also, I don't know if
you're
allowed to do that, post it in the show. So good. So, like, I guess you can explain it better, but...
Well, you experienced it, and...
It's crazy. Like, it's like, yeah, you said getting high from your own supply. Won't say no to that.
Yes, exactly. But it just gets you centered and more relaxed. And yeah. I guess that's what everybody can use, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So I think that's a very good moment to hand the... 2 next questions over to you, and because it would be very much appreciated if you would give 1 question to the listeners that they can answer below the respective Instagram post, and 1 question for my next guest without you knowing who it's going to be.
Okay, which one first?
Whatever you want.
Okay, so for the listeners to answer under the under your post, I'm asking you, what is stopping you from going after your dreams?
Yes.
And for the next person, whoever that might be, is if you knew you can't fail, what would you do?
All right, perfect. Looking forward to the next podcast already. And was there anything that I didn't ask you that you would have loved to answer?
To be honest, you can see me. I have a smile on my face, which is from one ear to ear. It was just really, really fun and inspiring to talk to you. And thank you for letting me share the space with you. And thank you for letting me be your guest.
Absolutely, my pleasure. It was so nice to have this conversation. and to experience your energy in this time that we spend together now. And please just continue being you. You're amazing. And
thank you.
I have one more question.
Hit me.
Because I have been curious about that for a long time now.
Tell me.
What made you have your hair like that? Because the people that don't see you right now or maybe haven't seen your image yet, if you look at the image of Tiffany, she has a very interesting hairstyle. She has half of her hair is white and the other half is black. And what happens? Why did you do that? It's kind of your signature style, right?
Yeah, I think it is now. So why did I do it? Well, I had a lot of hair colors. I had blonde before, like I said, all my hair kind of fell off. Then I had short hair. Then I was like, oh, I can't be bothered to dye my hair anymore. And then I was like, I'm going to go back to natural. And then I was 6 years, my normal brown hair color. And I was like, amazing. I'm never going to dye my hair again. This is great. And then after 6 years, I was like, oh my God, this is so boring. I can't even look at myself anymore. I need to change. And then I was on my way to Berlin with one of my good friends, and I think we were heading there for a nice little Berlin party weekend, and I was like, I'm gonna dye my hair. I was with the plan of going back to blonde, and then sitting in this train, I was thinking, who the hell needs another blonde me? Like, nobody. And then I was like, I think I'm just going to do one hair, one side black, one side white. And then I look over to Ellie and she's like, and I told her and she's like, no, man, don't do it. And I was like, don't change my mind. If it looks shit, I'm just going to dye it back. It's only hair. And it was exactly like that. And I met her just after. I got an appointment the next day, had it done, and met her. And she was like, this is so you. And when I met my parent, like my family, they were like, it looks like you always had it. And it feels to me now like as if how I feel on the inside is now visible on the outside. And it definitely sometimes puts me in situations where I can see from the way that someone is looking at me at the beginning is that they're like, what is this girl trying to tell me about online marketing or something? And I have to always prove myself, but I feel like I really enjoy that because mostly then yes. I always have that moment where then someone's like, oh, I had to change my mind, and I like to change people's minds.
And you will definitely be remembered. The conversation will be remembered, and that's a smart move, and it suits you.
Thank you. It's my yin and my yang.
Exactly. That's my thoughts. I just thought about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect. All right. So I guess the audience can reach you through Instagram and LinkedIn.
Yes.
So we will put your contacts into the show notes. And that leaves me with nothing but being very grateful to you for being my guest. Thank you for all the insights and the stories and the love you shared. And I'm very happy that you have been here today.
I am even more happy. Thank you so, so much for having me as your guest. And I will be listening to your podcast intently. And
all right.
And I hope other people haven't been bored and we didn't crack the 5-hour record. But I hope we were able to help someone out there or inspire someone or whatever.
All right. So take care and I'll see you next time.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Creative Industry Radio. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation and took away some valuable insights into the creative industry. I'd love to hear from you and to continue the conversation, so make sure to leave a comment on the respective show episode post on Instagram and LinkedIn, and let us know what you think about the image and the story to it that was shared. And of course, you're welcome to answer the question of today's guest. And if you liked what you heard today and found value in it, why not share the love and forward this episode to a friend or colleague who could also benefit from the content? Your support means the world to me, and a subscription to this podcast would be greatly appreciated. So, until next time, keep being creative and stay tuned for more episodes of Creative Industry Radio. This is your host, Jan, signing off.